Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Of radio.
Hey everybody, this is Steve. I just want to let you know that for all the latest on our podcast, hit us up at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're also on Patreon if you want to check that out. But our homepage is with the Age of Radio Network at ageofradio.org/Everything I Learned from Movies. And if you're looking for some amazing art, check out my wife's Etsy page at untidyvenus.etsy.com. All kinds of great stuff there. Also, follow us at PodcartFest, that's PodcartFest, for our periodic art and podcasting festival that we're going to be hosting. It's actually pretty cool. Check it out. So yeah, on that note, let's get to the show.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes and gratuitous movies, it's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
Roll call working Tuesday, September 11. Color for the day is green. As always, protect yourselves, watch each other's backs.
We have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Prepared for everything. Not this. Not for some of this size. There's no plan. Okay, listen up. We gotta evacuate the tower. Who's coming? Step forward.
I got it, Sarge.
I'll go.
Sarge.
All right. Follow me. Stay together. See the light.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. And tonight.
Oh, tonight.
Yeah. It's time for the Patreon exclusive for August Cage.
I'm sorry, y'all. Sorry.
With 2006's World Trade Center. That's right, we're finally doing it, baby. Yeah, moment of silence from Izzy.
Doesn't happen often.
God damn, I know.
It's a sign of deep respect.
I wish. So anyway... but yes, this is for a Patreon exclusive. Who knows, this might be a bonus episode I throw out sometime much later. But guys, thank you so much for supporting us.
Thank it's you greatly guys so much. You're all so amazing.
Anything we can improve on, definitely let us know.
Yeah,
you know, whatever, we're here for you guys. But Hey, was this your first time watching this movie, World Trade Center?
Yes.
Yeah, this was my first time too. So
yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
Based on a true story.
What?
No, but like really the stories of the characters are based on true stories.
I believe the exact words were based on the accounts of the survivors, and I'm like, yes. That's just what history is.
History is written by the winners.
That's right. Oh, but babe, before we dive into this one, I don't know about you. I'm a little thirsty.
Oh, I'm far too fucking sober for this. We have, let's see,
you gotta say it with a New York accent.
All right, we got established in 1856, Murphy's Imported Stout, drought style. brewed using only the top ingredients. Very fine beer.
Fucking Janine?
Serve it at 40 degrees, pour it at 45 degrees, let it settle, and then drink it. Untrilled cans may it overflow.
I'm sorry, is my can telling me how to drink a fucking beer?
I just think we're probably going to have a little bit of bottle bomb here.
Yeah, that should be fine.
You ready to pop the stop?
Yeah.
Ah, shit.
That's not that bad.
Can't even finish popping the top yet.
Loud pipes, but ain't saying nothing. Same. There you go.
Is that your New York accent? 45 degree pour.
Wicked piss up. Wait, that's Boston.
And it's very foamy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just cascading through there. Nice foamy goodness.
Yeah.
Say, is that nitro or something? That would be my drought style?
It's drought style.
Yeah. So I think it's just like this. But yeah. It's, yeah, the nice cascading.
Oh, yeah. I think it's got a widget in there, too.
Nice. Ooh.
Have you been to the bar with the friends who were obsessed with getting the widget out of the Guinness can?
Nope.
Not when they're drunk?
Nope.
Definitely to take it in the parking lot and run over with the car a couple times?
Nope.
Okay.
Babe, I feel like you have a story there.
I feel like that's just Friday with a redneck. Mm. All right. Yeah, this has a really, really lovely, like, chocolate aroma, very malt forward, has a very, very fine khaki-colored head, like, micro bubbles.
Yeah, I think this might be on nitro. Like, it's incredibly smooth, and I was, like, checking the
bottle.
This
head, look at this head, babe.
Yeah, wow, that's, yeah.
I just dipped my finger in it, my finger is, like, it's like dipping my finger in paint. It's beautiful.
Yeah, just nice and lightly sweet, mm-hmm. biscuity, like little roasty notes, but yeah, just really,
nice
really
dry
smooth.
Finish.
Yeah, like definitely like a all day or night drinking beer.
Oh yeah, I could definitely get myself drunk on these. Mm-hmm. In fact, I should definitely drink a lot of them while we watch this New York movie.
Yeah, boom, boom, boom. That's Murphy's Imported Stout Draught Style. You can probably find it. It's a pretty popular one from my understanding. I know we had these in California a couple times before, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 2006's World Trade Center.
Woo!
From director Oliver Stone.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. You might have heard a little movie called Seizure. No? I know you've heard of this next one. The Hand, starring Mike O'Kane.
Oh, shit. For some reason, my brain immediately went to Idle Hands, and I was like, no! Yeah. Oliver Stone's Idle Hands.
I mean, pretty much. Guys, if we ever draw Handuary, guess what? We're going to be talking about that. Salvador. You ever seen that movie, babe?
I did not.
I think that's the one James Woods got, like, nominated for Academy Award for. You know, your favorite James Woods?
I do love me some James Woods. Here's the thing, don't think I'm very up to date on Oliver Stone movies.
Oh, well.
I know friend of the podcast, John C. McGinley, would be wildly disappointed in me, since he's worked with him, as Steve would say, a handful of times.
A couple times. Yeah.
Seven, Steve.
Yeah, whatever. Plus my balls. Speaking of which, Platoon, starring John C. McGinley. Wall Street, I believe, also starring John C. McGinley. Talk Radio, never seen it, so I don't know. Born on the 4th of July, The Doors, JFK, Natural Born Killers, Nixon, Any Given Sunday. So he peaked right there, right?
Yeah!
but since then, he's done Alexander,
okay.
This, W. You ever seen W?
No. I keep hearing that I should.
It's Oliver Stone trying to do like a dark comedy about George W. Bush or something. It's
okay.
It's interesting, and the cast is fucking stacked. Like,
yeah.
But then he did Savages, which I didn't care for at all, but I don't
okay.
know.
Okay.
Snowden, which I still haven't seen, also starring Nicolas Cage, though.
I watched like 5 minutes of it. I don't remember why. It was like playing somewhere where I was just like waiting, like in a waiting room or something.
Oh, on the dark web, on QAnon.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, And apparently coming soon, a movie called Nuclear. I feel like it may have something to do with Oppenheimer. I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't know. Or it's about family values in America.
John Jacob Oppenheimer sniff. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Wouldn't that be great if Oliver Stone, like a year from now, releases another movie about the creation of the nuclear bomb, and he's like, wait, what? Oppenheimer? Never heard of it. 70 millimeter? $1 billion? Oh my god!
Now he's gonna make it a dark comedy, babe.
I gotta get on Facebook! Yeah. Fine, I'll just have to make a movie about Barbie. What?! But babe, this movie was also written... written for the screen by Andrea Berloff.
Who's he, Steve?
Well, she... she...
wait, a lady writer?
A lady writer. More importantly, babe, this was her first thing, apparently. She did this, followed by Straight Outta Compton, Bloodfather, Sleepless, the Jamie Foxx movie.
Oh, yeah.
The Kitchen... And just released The Mother. You heard about The Mother?
Mm-mm.
While fleeing from dangerous assailants, an assassin comes out of hiding to protect her daughter she left earlier in life, starring Jennifer Lopez and Josephines.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, wait. How do you say Josephines? Like, I know Ralph, it's Rafe. It would be Josephines?
Josephines.
I don't know. But apparently she's also in pre-production on Aladdin 2 and The Legend of Conan, which will never be made. I'm just going to say it so they can prove me wrong, because I've been talking about that movie for like 10 years now. Based on a true story by John and Donna McLaughlin and William and Allison Jimeno.
Jimeno?
Well, you may be asking, wait, who plays these people?
Yeah.
Well, you got Sir Nicolas Cage as John McLaughlin. Michael Pena as Will Jimeno, Maria Bello as Donna, Maggie Gyllenhaal as Allison, and then you have, wow, John Barenthal, Jay Hernandez, Nicholas Turturro, Stephen Dorr, Frank Whaley, Viola Davis, Michael Shannon, and of course, friend of the podcast, John C. McGinley for a cup of coffee. Blink and you'll miss him, they say.
I mean, we had to rewind to catch him.
We should have been like, wait, that guy sounded like, wait, it's not showing his face. Why?
That was after, it was like, John C. McKinley's in the film, right? Who's mm-hmm. he play? Firefighter number one, huh? Did we like, already miss him?
He was like, wait, was that the beginning? There's like 10 minutes left in this movie, right? Yeah. Oh, but babe, how did we watch this movie? Do you remember?
Amazon.
Nope.
No. Then I don't remember.
We have a copy of it.
Oh, that's right.
It came in one of those Nicolas Cage bundles.
Yes, okay.
But apparently it's also on Paramount Plus, which I guess you can also through Hulu and Amazon if you have Paramount Plus. But yeah, I think it ran for like $3 or $4 somewhere. And because this was on a DVD, it starts off as every DVD should be, with an anti-piracy warning scored by a song that was pirated.
Yep.
Are you alright?
No, I'm sorry. Let me turn this off. Yeah, no. Yeah, the fucking anti-piracy thing stealing a Dutch musician's music.
That's fucking great.
You wouldn't steal a car, but we would steal the music for this short.
You wouldn't steal someone's intellectual property for your own benefit, right?
You definitely wouldn't put on billions of video cassettes and send them out to people.
Oh, man.
And DVDs.
That guy's loaded now, I'll bet. All those, was it 10 years in prison or $250,000 or whatever?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. He's Dutch. Doesn't matter.
You can steal from the... Well, I know he's happy.
Lives in the happiest country on earth with income equality. Doesn't get anything.
Yeah. There you go. But we also had previews. You may be wondering, what was this going up against?
Oh,
the...
God damn it. Oh, God damn it.
Well, babe, it starts off with a little teaser for Dreamgirls.
I do like Dreamgirls. Dreamgirls is
good. Dreamgirls is great. It's got...
Dreamgirls is really good. Honestly, though, the Sapphires I liked better.
Sapphire. Oh,
that was the one
about
the Australian group.
Wait, Australian?
Yeah, they were the Aborigines.
Oh, that's right, the Aboriginal. Yeah. Sorry. What was the other Commitments? That's the one.
I love the Commitments. Yeah.
And of course, then that was followed up by Alejandro Iñárritu's Babel, which I saw once and
never seen Babel.
I remember being like, "Wow, what was the movie? The Last Kiss, the Zach Braff." And
God, man.
I'm marrying the girl of my dreams. Then this other girl just showed up at the wedding. Oh, I don't know what to do.
What if my life was so boring? I had to fuck it up for my own entertainment and take everybody around me's life down with me.
Followed by an inconvenient truth. Oh, just hit after hit after hit. By the way, we're going through the previews and we're like, wow, some of these are kind of poly-charged. Oh, that's right, because after that there was like the 25th anniversary re-release of Reds, the Warren Beatty movie, and it was like in a time where it's even more prevalent than ever before.
Never seen Reds either.
Yeah, me neither, but you know, apparently, I don't know. Maybe it'll come up on the podcast. Reds versus Red.
Hey!
Reds versus Red 2.
Oh my.
I always get them mixed up, you know?
It's true. They get mixed up for a reason.
They're only separated by 40 years or whatever. But yes, based on the actual accounts of the survivors. And we cut to 3:30 in the morning, and we see Nicolas Cage getting up and taking a shower. Yeah!
Woo!
And then he's driving to Manhattan from somewhere in Jersey. You know, like everyone does that works in Manhattan. And, I don't know, we get, like, 5 minutes of shots of, New York City at dawn, and, you know, like, people just kind of, like, waking up, getting ready for the day, and they're like, hey, Michael Pena, you know, look at the cast. But yeah, they're all driving in, you got, like, you got a John Barathal Punisher, coming in on the Long Island Ferry, and then, I think it was Michael Pena was like listening to a country song and you were like, nope. That came out in 2006. That wasn't in 2001.
That came
inaccurate.
Out after.
That wasn't the song inaccurate. He was listening to. Boo.
Yep. Boo. Just because I remember like that's, well, I don't know if that came out in 2006 per se. I just know that was one of the country songs that came out because of 9/11.
Yeah, with the, probably on the soundtrack or whatever. Yeah. That they were also advertising in the previews. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was just like going to be a score or something, but. Who knows? Maybe Jay-Z drops a song or something.
Right?
spoilers, no. Basically, long and short of it is, like, Nicolas Cage, he's with NYPD or something. And Pena is, like, a rookie. Or no. Pena is NYPD. He's, like, a rookie. He's got, like, the rookie patrol kind of just, like, walking around and, like, you know, getting bums off of statues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Cage, as I have written down, I don't know if he's a detective or what. Like, he's just kind of, like, heading
a
meeting.
He was definitely,
but...
like, the captain.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Just giving, like, assignments or whatever.
Yeah, or, yeah. He's not the chief. He's, like, the captain of his, like, little squadron there.
Yeah. But then, I think we're, like, Pena's, like, on the street, like, talking to somebody, like, hey, you know, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, you just see a shadow passing by and like, hear a little, everybody's looking around, like, the fuck was that? That seemed a little low, right? And then, thump! Like, fucking rooms start shaking, buildings start kind of shaking, everybody's like, what the fuck was that? And then, you know, we see all the cops all over the city, like, all units report, blah, 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 you know, like on their walkie-talkies. Yeah, so, yeah, that basically the shadow and the thump, then implied, obviously, the first plane hitting the tower. With this movie, they were very specific to, like, not show a lot, like, especially in the beginning, because, but it's a good way of doing it, because nobody knows what the fuck was going on.
And, like, if you're in the city, you can't really see the towers, you can't see the forest for the trees.
Oh, yeah, true, yeah.
Like, they're not getting a perfect shot down any of the streets, they're just like, the hell is that?
Yeah, it's like, what, was it a fucking subway car or something? Yeah, like, you know, you get a little, just, whenever it starts shaking, you usually start thinking, oh, the ground. you know. Yeah.
How many times when we were in San Francisco did you and I specifically mistake an earthquake for thinking a bus or a truck went by the house too fast?
Oh, yeah, all the
every
time.
Every fucking time.
All the time. And guys, happens with living next to the freeway, too.
They'll tell you, animals will tell you when an earthquake is happening. Both our fucking cats slept through every goddamn earthquake. Castor Troy and Mr. Pickles, you're both fucking useless at earthquake detection.
You hear that, Pickles? No, he doesn't.
No, he still can't hear you. And guess what? Castor can't hear us anymore either.
Oh, I mean, no.
Do you think Cameron would let you know if there was an earthquake?
Sure.
Like jumping on your nards.
Yeah, I know Poe would definitely use him as a trampoline. Bitch. But, yeah, basically, like, everybody's getting called back in to, you know, the closest department. Everybody's like, all right, we don't know what happened, how we got hit, blah, blah, blah. Sergeant Cage or whatever, McLaughlin, I think his name is.
We're going to call him Sergeant Cage.
He starts, like, basically calling off names for people that are, you know, people are just basically being rerouted downtown to help, like, direct traffic and clear that up so they can start, you know, doing what needs to be done, whether it's evacuating or just, diverting traffic, basically, so no one's just in a fucking stalemate.
They're like the wharf cops or something, right?
Yeah, I couldn't tell, like, basically, yeah, I think, like, Punisher's, like, with the wharf, and, like, some are NYPD, some are, I don't know, the sheriff's department or something, but everybody's heading downtown, like, that.
But Cage's specific squadron, just a second, sorry, Future Steve.
Okay.
All right. They were, like, specifically, because they did an ode to him at the end. Sorry, they're Port Authority officers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So it's the Port Authority.
There you go. But yeah, everybody's being directed downtown to help with traffic and stuff when, you know, the firefighters are going doing their thing, that kind of thing. And they all, like, load up in a, like, a bus, like a city bus that's just cooking, like, through town, like, out of the way. I'm Abraham Lincoln. Get out of my way, you know.
And I don't know, this scene, like, went on, like, too long because I caught myself three separate times going, wait, why are the cops on a bus? Like, I don't know.
Well, you know, they had to get across town. It's not exactly a hop, skip, and a jump away downtown, even if you're on, like, the West Side Highway or whatever.
Yeah. And if they're Port Authority, they're all down at the docks, so.
Yeah, yeah. Or it was the Southside Seaport or something like that. Yeah.
I know so little about New York. I've never been.
I know, babe. I've been twice. I still know
so
nothing.
You're an expert.
Absolutely. Yobo, eat your heart out. No, yeah.
We should have had Yobo on for this one.
Yobo knows Queens, but
he would be able to tell us exactly what streets they were doing wrong, and, like, you never get to from that street to that street like we do in San Francisco.
Oh man, I wonder what was Yobo doing that Tuesday morning. Probably sleeping in. Maybe doing a line of coke for breakfast. I don't know.
He was on a plane.
Oh no. He was driving a bus full of officers. Hey, get out of my fucking way!
He was supposed to be doing his route. His boss got what is it when the cops take your car?
Confiscated.
Confiscated by the police. He was just stuck standing there.
Oh man, I missed my flight.
Ironically, he was at the Oklahoma City bombing.
No, my God.
Paying his respects.
Oh shit! I know where Yobo was. He was in front of Sam Goody waiting for that Jay-Z album Blueprint to drop.
Oh, shit.
You and me both, buddy.
Sam
you and me both.
Goody. I was on my way to high school and my parents thought it was, or my mom and us thought it was a radio prank, so we turned the radio off and just went on with our day.
Oh, goddamn.
Look! The rock jocks in the early 2000s had a lot of stupid fucking shit.
Oh, yeah, they were worse than WCW and WWE.
Yeah.
Remember when Hunter Hearst Helmsley tried to fuck a corpse? No? Hey, remember when Vince McMahon died? I think that was like a week before then. It was like a week before 9/11, and then they totally dropped that come September 12th?
It was the, I know it was the week before... A certain murder-suicide we don't talk about in wrestling groups.
No, wait, Benoit?
Yeah, I think it was like the week before that.
Oh, no, I think that was like years later. Like,
really?
I think that was like 2005 or
something. Find out.
Yeah, let's find out. Speaking of national tragedies, let's set up a proper timeline for our Patreons here. Hi, Brandon. Hi, Stork. Hi, Drew. Let's see. Diana might listen.
When did Vince McMahon die in WWE? Vincent J. McMahon died at age 69 of pancreatic cancer.
I think that's the dad.
Yeah. Okay. It was in June of 20... Oh, wait. No, this article's... Vince McMahon staged his own demise with a shocking car bomb in 2007.
Wait. It was after?
Mm-hmm.
I swear it was... Or maybe it was some other WWE bullshit about someone dying that they totally dropped like the week before, but... Guys, I watch wrestling.
In the past, Stone Cold Steve Austin did a similar thing where he faked his death and blew off the DX Express with a shocking blast in one WWE segment. Oh, apparently they really blew up his limo. They were supposed to fake it.
Oh, shit.
And apparently Donald Trump really thought that Vince McMahon was dead.
Well, yeah. That's why Stone Cold gave him the stunner. Do it again! Alright. Fuck, where was I? I had actually just gotten back from Jamaica the day before, as bougie as I am. Now, it was a work trip. You know, I had to stay at the now-defunct Ritz-Carlton Montego Bay and check it out.
Oh, you poor baby.
I know. It was getting ready for college, and saw it on the news, and was like, oh, this is interesting. Still went to class. Basically made it all the way to school and got to class, and like 10 minutes in, teacher comes in. It was basically like, I think we're just gonna cancel today's lesson. And then I remember it was like that day too, like he was like, but here's an interesting thing about the towers that just collapsed. He was already going in on like how the jet fuel and stuff doesn't reach high enough to make a buckle and stuff, and I was like, okay. The day of. To be fair, he was an engineering professor. But yeah, you know.
Right. Here we are. June 11th, 2007. WWE tried a storyline where McMahon was getting into his limousine, only to have it explode. McMahon was presumed dead, and the storyline was followed out so perfectly that WWE's corporate office had to issue an official statement denying McMahon's actual death. 2 weeks later, a three-hour Raw planned a memorial for McMahon, which ended up having to be a tribute for Chris Benoit, shockingly passed the previous weekend.
Yeah, so Benoit canceled that whole thing. Sorry, yes. I thought it was, and
apparently they dropped it so fucking hard, like everybody was like, wait, I thought we were playing this game.
Everybody like shakes their head like, no, what I'm looking forward to is the next match, qualifying for WrestleMania, you know. We don't talk about them before four times. I was like, well, what about Chris Benoit? Balls. That was their response to every question about it.
We are surprised by his shocking passing. And Vince McMahon is here to,
hey, welcome back,
to talk about the next WWE Raw.
Yep. So, they're taking the bus over. I think Pat Pena, Will, I think his name is in the movie. Mm-hmm. He gets a call. He's like calling his wife. Or, no, someone gets a call from their wife. Oh, that's right. I think Nick Cage. John gets a call from his wife. And that's when the second towers hit, and it was like, some random guy on the bus. That's right. That's who was like, hey, my wife just called and said the second tower got hit now. What the fuck's going on, John? You know, we're like, oh, yeah. We're
and then it like
out.
Cuts back to the department where everybody at the department's like, they're saying the second building hit. No, probably just parts of the first one hit the second.
Yeah, it's just
one.
Smoke going blowing in the
it's
wind.
It's just smoke. I can't really tell from here. And I mean, that's pretty much what it was like. What the fuck was going on.
Oh, yeah. I think on that same bus, the guy's like, all right, so what's the plan? Boss, like, we don't have a plan for this. We got a plan for, like, you know, nuclear radiation leak, fires, all this other shit. Look, flood, tsunami, blah, blah, blah. We don't have the tower got hit with a plane. There's no plan.
Yeah, then Nick Cage sort of comes in like, all right, guys, we're all going to meet at Building 5. And then they get there and they all load and where he's like, so where is building 5?
Yeah, which one's built? I thought there were only 2 towers. Like, no, tower 1, tower 2, and then building 3, 4, 5. Yeah, apparently there's like 12, I think they said.
Something like that, yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, I knew there was a 3, like, it was just kind of... Yeah, like nearby, but yeah, apparently.
Steve, why did you know that there was a 3?
Oh, because as we'll talk about later in the later in the movie, building number 3 is the Marriott, which also you know, met an untimely demise, as well as like 5 or 6 other buildings down there. But yeah. You know.
Oh, you mean like 10 square city blocks?
Yeah. But yeah, they get down there. Oh, that's right. There's also like that. I don't know, there's like a 2-minute scene of like super slow motion as they see a guy like lying down on the sidewalk and someone's trying to revive him, and it's like just mm-hmm. super slow as they're passing, and I'm like, these guys are cops. They've seen this stuff. I mean, they're not even in the shit yet. Like, why would this be a particularly slow-mo scene? I don't know.
I think it's because like you mentioned it here in another couple of scenes. There's that sort of dramatic difference between people who are just completely covered in soot and shit.
Oh yeah, okay.
And then the people who are like in business suits and stuff, and then there's just people who are perfectly fine, look like they just got out of a cab.
Yeah, look like they just got out of the elevator and like, yeah. Oh, here, I'll help this guy. I've got a clean suit.
Yeah, and then there's some people who look like they've been in a war zone or covered in their blood, other people's blood. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
I think that's what we were supposed to get from this, was just sort of like, what the fuck is going on?
Because
you expect everybody to look like they're coming out of a nuclear holocaust, or everybody to be clean.
Yeah, not a just... mix of the two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they also get down there, and I thought it was funny, but also a little weird. There was like paper just kind of fluttering down, mm-hmm. all down from whatever, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, the paper would probably be on fire. And also, it's like, it's just...
How many windows though got blown out?
Yeah, say reams of copying rooms that just now the wind's blowing through and scattering.
How many Rolodexes just got thrown out a window?
Yeah, true.
Speaking of throwing out a window.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. So.
People start dropping out the windows. People are trying to get off the top floors.
Yep.
And I won't lie, I would probably jump out of a building before I let myself just be burned to death.
I mean,
burning to death, I think, is probably my biggest fear. That seems like one of the most painful, slowest ways to die. Followed quickly by drowning. Drowning also seems awful.
Yeah.
I want to not know I'm dying. I just kind of want
to... You just want to, like, go to sleep and be cold? Yeah.
I want lights out, gorilla radio.
Fuck that. Turn that shit off. Yeah. Grand opening, grand closing. Yeah.
Pretty much. Well, it's like the guys on the billionaires on the sub, they're saying that death was instantaneous because apparently the time it takes a sub to depressurize is 3 times faster than it takes brain synapses to recognize what's happening.
Oh, so just it instantly just, like crush like a it would have been just and...
a light switch.
Mm. I mean, I like to think that for them. Anyway, so yeah, they get there. Cage is like, all right, the plan is just to evacuate as many people as we can out of the towers. There's going to be, you know, 20,000-30,000 people in there. Let's get them all out. And he's asking for volunteers to go with them to building 5, because apparently, because so many people are just coming out of the front entrance and all that, they're like, all right, we got to go into building 5 with our gear and take like the, you know, go across the concourse and take like the service elevators up to where we need to go to get more people on the top floors.
Yeah. And, so they're going in through the internal like police station. The police officers who are still there are like, we don't know what we're fucking doing.
Yeah.
Take some gear. I don't know.
Yeah. Here's what we got. You know, the fire department has like a couple masks and tanks and stuff. And, so like, all right, cool. And then, so basically we get volunteers where it's, Pena, was a Punisher, some redheaded guy, and the guy we refer to as Lips, I think, is Jay Hernandez, though. But it's like super young Jay Hernandez, and with the, you know, we're used to like Magnum Jay Hernandez, even though we've never seen Magnum PI. I think this is more Hostel era Jay Hernandez.
Really?
But trying to look like an adult and not a douchey.
But
American
he definitely
tourist.
Has. Tender lips, and we know he's gonna die first.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everybody who dies first has the tenderest lips.
That's right. So yeah, they take the back ways. Oh no, that's right. They run into Punisher on the way in. That's right. He's like, I guess he knows Nick Cage, and like, oh yeah, I'll help you out. What do you need me to do? Like, hey, just come along with us. We got plenty of shit. And then, that's right, Punisher comes in and he's like, hey, did you hear about the Pentagon getting hit too? They say it was like a missile or something. Shit's going crazy, man. Like, all right, shit. There's like this whole scene where I think they were going to like survey whether they can like take all the gear and stuff with them, but they leave Peña with, they have like this little wagon or whatever they're pushing with all the gear and stuff, so they don't all have to carry it until it's necessary. And so he's sitting there waiting, like looking around, and you know, he's seeing like the paper falling out the windows and people running by out the windows. And then I don't know. Basically, this guy, this African-American police officer who's like covered in, like he's got, looked like he got himself cut on the forehead or something, but he also is just covered in, I don't know, dirt or I'm assuming asbestos from like a fire part or something that collapsed or whatever. But he just kind of like walks around the corner and he's like, hey, how's it going, fella? You know, like introducing himself and, you know, Peña's like, oh, hi, I'm Will. Nice to meet you. He just basically like reassures Will like, hey, you know, don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. We'll get it figured out. We're tough, right? And then just walks away the way he came. And I'm like, was that supposed to be like a magical Negro just reassuring one of our characters? I don't like where he just came around the corner, said, hey, how's it going? And then just walked right back. And it's like, the fuck was he doing? Like, just getting a breather? I don't know. But I don't know. It was just kind of a weird scene, I thought. Then everyone comes back like, hey, what's going on? And, you know, like, all right, here's the plan. We're going to do this. And then, also walkie-talkie starts, all right, John McLaughlin, pull out, something's going on, we're here on, like, Buckley Street or whatever, and it doesn't look like things are gonna go, and the building just starts fucking shaking, and Cage is, like, looking around, you know, it's, like, getting worse, and he's like, run! You get, like, the Cage freak out of this movie, run for the elevator shaft! And this scene was really fucking intense, just, like, at first, you see, like, shit falling outside and just enough gray and debris and stuff to, like, just blacken everything out. And then it starts falling internal. And there's sparks and fire and all sorts of shit going on. And, basically just collapses all around him. And then just goes to, like, dark silence with, like rumbling, and then just nothing and dark. And I'm like, roll credits, guys. What do we think? But yeah, basically we see John first, Nick Cage. He's like buried. Like you see just rubble and shit all around him, and he's like, "Is anyone there? Is that my daughter in there? No, like anyone there?" And he's like, "Sound off." And I think there was only like, say there was just the two people left at that point, right? There was Peña and I think Jay Hernandez.
Yeah.
Lips, I guess.
Yeah, Precious Lips.
Yeah. He's Nick Cage, he's trying to, you know, get on the walkie-talkie and tell them they're stuck and, you know, approximate location, like, oh, you're near the, elevator shaft number 5, blah, blah, blah. And they're basically, like, trapped in the concourse between the two towers. And it's like, oh, shit, that's a place to be. Oh, shit. But they do see a little bit of light about 20 feet up, or one of them does. That's right, Will sees it. He sees, like, there's a little light up there. I don't know if it's daylight or structural or what, but yeah. Yeah, they start, like, trying to, like, dig themselves out. Lips is, like, trying to dig out Peña, but there's, like, a big piece of rebar and cement and everything or, you know, whatever. And then, yeah, another rumble. More shit falls on them. And this time they're, like, fucked. In fact, Lips, now he's got a sign situation where like the bottom half of him is like crushed and he's just like can't breathe, like, you know, blood dribbling out of his lips and shit. And Peña and Cage or whatever, they're like trying to reassure him, like, hey, you're gonna be okay, buddy, we're just gonna get some help down here, you know, Captain Cage has got him on the walkie talkie, blah blah blah. And Lips says, I love you, Willie. He's like, hey, I love you too, man. Pop. Babe, what happened?
He knew he had internal bleeding. He knew he was going to die, and he popped himself in the head.
Yep. I was going like, okay, this is an Oliver Stone movie I'm in now. Jesus. Yeah. This is going to get intense.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, they're trapped. They still see like a little bit of light. Like it's not near, you know, it's still off in the distance, but like more stuff's in the way. And then it like kind of does a panning shot, like up through the view path and like up above, and it shows like the overhead wreckage. And it's like, oh, yeah, there's nobody around there. Nope. And it keeps panning up and showing, like, Manhattan. And, of course, the, like, satellite photos, like, all the smoke and shit coming off. And it's like, oh, yeah, all right. We now we know the time and place and location of where they are. This is,
They're in the middle of the shit.
Yeah, the shit.
The shit.
And, yeah, then we just start getting all the news clips around the world of, like, everybody, you know, now it's 30 minutes later or whatever, like, yeah, the towers have fallen, all the shocked reactions, like, everybody around the world, including, you know, shots of the Middle Eastern people with shocked reactions, like, holy shit, what's going on? Because, guys, it wasn't all of them. I'm just saying, it was a small group.
Well, I remember for, like, the first year, nobody took credit for it. That was, like, the big deal.
Well, the first couple of weeks, maybe.
No, I thought that was the thing. ISIS didn't officially say, like, we did it. They were more just like, we're glad somebody finally had the courage to take out the U.S. But nobody ever actually was like, it was us, bitches!
I think it gave it a couple of days. I seem to remember the first couple of days, like, the big theory was it China? You know, because...
Was it Russia? Everybody's afraid of communist China. Another Cold War?
Yeah. Then it came out, it was Muslim. It's like, oh... Makes sense, the guys that did the first bombing, what, 7-8 years earlier, like, oh, okay, cool, great. I don't know.
But guys, the look country up the we've been reaping know. Since, like, forever?
as long as we could, yeah.
We destroy all everything they have that's good and leave them with nothing?
Yep. So yeah, news reports going around the world. We then cut to New Jersey, and hey, Maggie Gyllenhaal is joining the movie.
Hey!
Apparently it's Will's wife, Allison. And she's pregnant, babe.
Yes, she is.
Very pregnant. Extremely pregnant, you might say. Like, I don't know, 7-8 months?
Really? No, I was getting more like 4 or 5 months, or like 5-6 months.
Oh, she had a belly.
Her belly was not the same size
she
in every
could,
shot.
She could have set her dinner on her belly.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, she's preggers. And then we see Cage's wife. I said right now she's reassuring old ladies, but I guess it's like her mom or maybe John's mom and her friend that was there. I don't know exactly, but the police and the fire department start pulling up, and I'm like, oh no, it's gonna be one of those scenes. And Maria Bello comes out like, hey, you get right the fuck out of here if you're coming here for what I think you are. And you're like, no, John's alive, it's okay. We know he's alive. We just don't know how to get to him. But we're working on it. Blah, blah, blah. And, we see... You know, it kind of goes back and forth between the main storylines of, you know, Cage and Pena. They're stuck down. They're getting thirsty. They're starting to get numb and sleepy. But, of course, they have to keep reassuring each other. Nope, stay awake. You know, you go to sleep, you don't know if you're coming back. Brain activity keeps you alive. You know, all that stuff, right? And then... that's right. They mentioned, hey, you remember... you ever seen G.I. Jane? And I was like, wait, did Oliver Stone do G.I. Jane? No, that was Ridley Scott. That's right. We're like, yeah, you know that movie where the drill instructors, like, pain is good. Pain lets you know you're still alive. I'm just going off that because I really fucking hurt. Like, ugh. All right, guys. And then there's the scene here where fireballs just start... kind of raining down on them, right?
Oh yeah. Sorry, my friend just was accidentally sent. She's been really unhappy in her tech job, and they've been trying to. They keep saying they're gonna give her more interesting work and give her some help, and instead they fired half the department. And she has to take over their jobs, and they said you just have to do more with less. Even though they had record profits this year, she was accidentally sent an internal email about her last performance review. Mm. And they said, she's really loud and complainy for an Indian woman. She really should just sit down and be happy with what she's at. Denied for promotion, denied for raise. Although she's one of our top performers.
Nice.
And so she's just like, so do I quit now? Do I burn bridges? What do I do? And... so I was just, like, giving her the advice, like, honestly, you know you can't stay there. Yes. That, like, you know that. So.
Don't burn the bridge just yet.
No.
Just take advantage of that bridge.
So I told her, leisurely time. I was like, do what you choose to. And if they complain about it, tell them that they should do more with less.
Have you considered credit card fraud? No. Like,
it's really a shame. You guys should probably do more with less. Because I'm doing less.
Guys, fuck your employers. Just in general. I'm sure, you know what? If you've got a good employer out there, let us know.
Right.
I'll wait. No.
So yeah, and I just sent her act your wage.
There you go.
Everybody out there, act your wage. Fireballs are raining down upon them. But unfortunately, one of them swipes too close to the gun of Pretty Lips.
Right? That was the craziest fucking thing. Like, okay, so yeah, the fireballs are falling, and one of them, like, I don't know, hits Cage, like, in the legs, and then he's like, ah, fuck, or something like that, because I guess they're, like,
something wildly appropriate for flaming debris hitting your knees.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, like, wind starts coming through, and then, yeah, as you say, the gun just starts fucking blasting, and, like, and I like how they're
the gun
like,
turned
what?
Into Danny DeVito. Yeah. It just started blasting.
And I'm like, wait, what? Is it just because it got too hot, and the bullet, like, the gunpowder's igniting or something? Because, yeah, it's just pew, 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 pew. Sorry. It's like, did the dead man's finger all of a sudden squeeze?
No, because they showed it was spinning. And...
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. I was like, oh, crap. What, is that going to happen? Like, but they're like dodging bullets while buried underground. Yeah. If there's one place you should be safe from bullet fire, it's buried 20 feet in rubble.
Not New York, Steve.
Apparently not.
Gonna get shot when you're 20 feet under rubble. Mostly they're aimed at Pena, it appears.
Guns are racist, yeah.
Because guns are racist, but also Nicolas Cage is like, what was it, like 10
feet? Yeah, he's like
down?
another 10 feet or so down. Yeah. And he's on a different floor, yeah.
Yeah, he's busy being burned alive to a crisp.
Yeah. As yet more weight is being crushed upon his tender knees. Yeah. I say tender because they've been tenderized.
Oh,
for
they've
the last
been tenderized. Yeah, these are tender.
Yeah, I mean, just in general, but you know, take a couple mallets to them, and yeah. Meanwhile, New Jersey. Hey, guess what? They just got news about United 93 crashing there outside of Pittsburgh. And we see Maggie Gyllenhaal, Allison or whatever. She's calling up like. All right. Let me know as soon as you hear about Will. I gotta know what's going on. Blah blah blah. We then cut to like Wilton, Connecticut, and I'm like, okay, interesting. We show like an office building, and I'm like, is that General Zod in the background? And then it starts zooming in on Michael Shannon, and it's like, and he just basically like, ladies and gentlemen, we're at war, and like walks out of the room.
But nobody knows with who.
Yeah. So he goes to church, and he's praying there, and we get his little backstory. You know, he's talking to somebody there. I forget who, but he's like, well, you know, as a former Marine, I just want, you know, I got my skills, and I just want to help any way I can. So I think I'm going to go down there and help them boys down in Manhattan. And then, right, this is the part where we get back to Cage's home, and I guess his son, it's his son's birthday, or it's like coming up that
his
week or something.
On Wednesday.
Okay. Oh, so it's like the next day?
I just remember he said, if you talk to Dad, tell him, like, don't forget my birthday's Wednesday. And then Mom's like, okay, so don't tell your dad I told you, but he's planning on taking you to the playoff game.
Yeah. Taking you to the playoffs. I'm like, it's going to be pushed back a little bit. Just another.
You know, though, got the kids' mind off of it.
Yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal, she's puking because, you know, she's stressing out and she's pregnant. And as I've written down, that wallpaper, though, it was the interesting, like, floral and geometric patterns mix that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Was this also when we noticed that Nick Cage's house was a complete construction zone?
Yeah, there was the giant, like, hole in the floor from the renovation.
And all, like, paint samples on the wall.
And I was like, when is one of the kids just going to walk right into that? Like, father, like, son. Am I right? No. But, so we're about 6 or 7 hours in, and we cut back to Cage and Pena, and, they're talking about, like, oh, yeah, we got internal injuries, how long do you think we have left? Like, I don't know, maybe another 5 or 6 hours, and, And then Pena's like, hey, you remember that little girl in Turkey that they found after the earthquake? She was, like, alive, like, 4 days later.
They found her for, like, 4 days.
Yeah, we're tougher than that chick. We can do it.
We're tougher than a Turkish, like, four-year-old? Come on. Yeah. And Nikkei says something about, like, we gotta find some water or something. And then... Water Ex Machina.
Yeah,
pipe.
Yeah, Pena sees like a pipe above him. He starts pulling on it, and I'm like, "That may not be a water pipe. You may not want to put that in your mouth just yet." But he's pulling on it, and like he like barely gets his fingers on, like pulls down a little bit, and then like loses his grip. And then Cage is like, "What was that?" He's like, "Ah, I don't know. I got a pipe here. I don't think anything's coming out of it though." And he's like, "Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Keep making noise with it." But you know, for Pena, it's like. You know, he's being held down by like, concrete and shit. He's like barely able to like reach and stretch and get up there.
And then he does get splashed in the face with something.
Something. But he also doesn't react like it's water. Or even if it's water, it's like just washing the shit that's all over his face like into his mouth. And you know, oh, fun stuff, right?
Steve's nightmare.
Oh, Steve's nightmare comes up later in the movie too.
Oh yeah.
But we'll get to it. Another Steve has to deal with that shit. We get some more backstory. Like John, he's got four kids. The oldest one's named Steve. I'm like, good fucking name.
Good name.
Oh, that's right. When Pena's like clanging on the pipe or whatever, we then get a flashback to him finding it. Or no, we get a flashback to John finding about his surprise baby girl from like 4 years earlier. Aww. Or something like that. And
Yeah, we've definitely entered the montage part of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, we're getting a lot of flashbacks.
At this point, the action has stopped.
Michael Shannon just kind of like pops up at the site now, and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess Connecticut's like an hour or two from there, right?
That's right, because this was the part where like I couldn't tell if it was we'd had a few flashbacks now back and forth of them and their families and thinking about like naming Pena's new kid and
oh that comes up a little later.
Oh, okay. But this is like when Michael Shannon is this the next morning? Is this sunrise? Is this sunset the same day?
The cloud of smoke and rubble and stuff.
I was having trouble just keeping track of time though, because it's like, okay, well he made it to Connecticut from Connecticut to New York.
Yeah. We also get Pena feeling bad about Lips or whatever offing himself, because he's like, he offered to help me push the thing. If I had still been pushing the thing, we'd have been in different situations, then he'd be alive and I'd be dead, blah, blah, blah. And Cage is like, enough of that shit. Nobody cares about that shit. You're alive. Stay alive. Shut up. And
stay alive. I will find you.
Oh, and then it starts rumbling again.
Oh, no.
And they're like, oh, this is it. This is it.
More
like,
flaming debris comes down on
them. It's like, you're going to see him real soon. And they're just like scream praying and
shit. Oh, my God. They're both just screaming. Yep. Which, I mean, as they should be.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. And then darkness. Roll credits, guys. What? No.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
No, instead we get a flashback to the beginning of the movie of John waking up at 3:30 again. I'm like, oh no, the DVD skipped. But instead of him getting up, he just like shuts it off and like turns over and like hugs his wife. And then, and then he wakes up back back underground. And it's like, oh shit.
What if you just called in sick that day?
Right? Yeah. Yeah, apparently, and then we hear like when we go back to the cops above ground. Apparently, that was Building 7 collapsing.
Okay.
And night's falling. Rescue teams are all being pulled out.
Building 7's the Marriott, right?
No, Building 3 was the Marriott. Yeah, it is right. But when Building 7 fell, that's when they said like, and the Marriott isn't looking good either. So
that's okay.
And like night's falling, so they're pulling all the crews and stuff out. Like, all right, everybody, come on out. We'll hit it again in the daytime or whatever. But of course, everybody's like. You know, Michael Shannon's there. He's just like, all right, well, I'm just going to walk around with a flashlight and walkie-talkie. And I'll let you guys know if I find anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'll be safe. You know, I'm a Marine.
Yeah. I'm a Marine.
That's right. Maria Bella's like in the basement checking out like the honey-do list or something like that. And
yeah, he's got almost everything. Cage has got almost everything knocked off the list except the kitchen cabinets. The something I couldn't make out.
Yeah, it was like yellow paper directly under the light with like, you couldn't read it really.
And son's birthday present.
But then she starts flashing back to her John like teaching the kid how to like saw and stuff like that, and you know, a nice little heartwarming thing.
Yeah, that kid's gonna be the lead in Saw next.
That's right. Would you like to play a game? No, but and then And then we got another flashback of Pena and his wife talking about baby names, where apparently he really wants Alyssa. Alyssa the Pissa. They're going to love that.
The kids are going to love that. Alyssa the Pissa. Now, how about Olivia?
Well, I don't know, Olivia. I guess that's okay. Blah blah blah.
I really liked Alyssa. Yeah, and then she's never gonna have to live it down with our like seven other kids.
Yeah, and then yeah. So then Allison, you know, Maggie Gyllenhaal, she just comes down the stairs. All the families, they're like huddled around the TV or like having dinner or whatever. She's like, "Everybody, I want to make an announcement. My child's name is going to be Alyssa in honor of Will. He would have wanted it that way." And everybody's just kind of saying, like, okay, sweetie, you feeling okay? Yeah. and then the dad like walks up, like, oh, that's great, sweetie. Here, I got you some meds. And she's like, for what? Well, you know, for the baby, because you've been, you know, vomiting and stuff. Just want to make sure get all the vitamins and stuff you need. And she's like, look, I gotta go.
Maybe you're just feeling a little bit anxious.
Yeah. And then we cut to them at the CVS, and she's just like going down the aisles, and she's like, she's in like in a super pissy mood, just like going down the aisles and like, oh, what the fuck am I doing here? Pregnant woman in fucking middle of CVS. Hey, do you got, and like the, I don't know if it's brothers or cousins or what, like, hey, you got your cell phone on you? And like, they're like filling their pockets, like, no, I must have left it back at the house. How about you? You got your cell phone on you? No, we came to the fucking store and we don't have our cell phones on us.
We don't have a single cell phone between us.
And I'm like, where's your cell phone, Maggie?
She is pregnant.
Oh, so she should be having a cell phone for two.
Steve.
I am a great person.
You're going to be a great dad.
Super great.
Sushi, bite him.
Sushi, where's your cell phone?
I don't carry a cell phone, Steve. That is how the government tracks you.
That's
and
right.
I do not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I also stay off of social media.
Babe, what were you telling me about the dog earlier?
Oh, he's got a microchip.
Oh!
But it doesn't track him. It's not. They can't track him through the microchip. Mm. They can simply scan him to see what his name and his recent shots were.
Yeah, and control his mind. Yeah, I know how those work. So... Oh, yeah, that's right. Then they're, like, leaving, and they're, like, sitting at a red light, and she just, like, gets out and starts walking, and it's like, okay, you don't have to be difficult. Just, you know, everybody's going through some shit. I get it. We go back underground, and Pena's talking to, and then Pena, almost like he can hear the other side of the movie, is like, I think I'm going to name my daughter Olivia. And I'm like...
Nick Cage is like, yeah, that's great. That's a good name.
Yeah, it's a good solid name. Yeah, like future Academy Award winners are going to have it. What?
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry about it. So, as an Academy Award winner, I'm attuned to these things. Name's going to be Olivia Colman. It's going to be great. That's right. Oh, that's right. They're both like really sleepy right at this time. And like Cage is like trying to like call in over the walkie-talkie, like let him know like, hey, so Will Jimeno, tell his wife that he wants to name the baby Olivia. Repeat, Olivia. Will Jimeno's wife.
And he loves
baby.
His wife.
Yeah,
tell
yeah.
my wife.
And tell my wife
her.
I love him.
But they're not getting any reception.
Yeah. And they both just kind of go to sleep.
But first, Nick Cage says something like, if you fall asleep, you're never going to wake up. Let's not fall asleep.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then they both fall asleep.
Yep. Roll credits, guys. What? No! Still got another act to go. So yeah, then we cut to flaming overexposed Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, wish I was joking. It's like something out of a fucking Jodorowsky.
I just want you guys to know that flaming Jesus had two dads. All Jesuses had two dads. Every version of Jesus has two dads.
All right.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Cool.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I will not. Speaking of two dads, though, good old John Jr., JJ, kid's been acting like a little bitch because his birthday's coming up. He's out in the car and he wants mom to, like, drive him and be like, oh, mom, let's go get dad.
We're going to go look for him. Yeah. Like, you can't go look for him. Don't you even want to try and help? Don't you even care about dad?
You don't even care about dad.
Okay, here. Me and your uncle will go look for your father. Go back in the house. In case he comes home, you can be here to greet him.
Yeah.
Okay, and I like the kid's like in his Boy Scout uniform. Like his kid, this kid got fucking dressed for it.
Oh yeah, he's ready. He's ready to do a camp out. He's got a flashlight, I'm sure. Yeah. Meanwhile, Michael Shannon, he's searching the rubble. And we get Flaming Jesus again. And then, poop, Pena's back. Ugh! Ah!
John!
Hey, you still here, buddy? I'm still here.
I had a dream. And it was Jesus. And he had a bottle of water. And I didn't drink it. What do you think would happen if I drank Jesus' water?
Yeah, right?
Which, like, 100% that sounds like something crazy dehydrated people say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then he starts talking about, like, hey, you ever see that Starsky and Hutch? Yeah, I used to watch that when I was a kid. That's why I wanted to become a cop. You know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and then, like, Cage is like, hey, how long have you been on there? 21 years. And he's like, oh, man, you must have seen some shit. And he's like, I don't smile much anymore. But, yeah, I love Starsky and Hutch, too. Da-da-da, da-da-da. Like, they both start kind of doing the theme song or whatever.
Yeah. Is this where Nick Cage goes into the, like, I was so careful for 21 years. I was really careful. Told my wife I'd be extra careful. And today I wasn't careful.
I let her down. And he starts, like, dozing off. And Pena's like, hey, wake the fuck up.
Yeah, Nick Cage is like, not doing well.
Yeah, yeah. And he starts, like, banging the pie. Like, hey, you stay awake down there. Hey. And meanwhile, Michael Shannon and some rando guy he ran into was also searching. They're like, wait, you hear something? I was down here and like, oh shit, hey. You're like banging the pipe and stuff.
There's two of us down here. There's me and another guy. Yep. We're down here. Me and Joe. Come get us.
Yeah. And so Michael Shannon's like trying to call it in. Of course, all the lines are busy. Mm-hmm. So then he ends up just calling his sister, who apparently calls it in or, you know, calls like, oh, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And the families are all notified, like, hey, we found him. We're going to try to dig him out. Yeah. You want to come down to the hospital?
They're misreported.
Oh, that's
they,
right.
They walked back in. They should be home any minute.
Yeah, they're going to be at the hospital.
Yeah, they're going to Bellevue.
Go meet him there in like 30 minutes or some shit.
That's right. Luis Guzman's wife's family forgets to ask which hospital.
Michael Pena, but I'll allow Luis Guzman. Sorry. Okay.
Michael Pena's family forgets to ask which hotel. Oh my god.
Which hospital.
Yeah. And they have to call back.
Yep. So yeah, then the team starts showing up to like dig him out. And it's led by Steven Dorff and Frank Whaley's in there too. He volunteers, guys. He's also a very small gentleman. They need to climb down in there to like set shit.
Yeah, he was like a bystander. He was like, hey, I've made some mistakes and my certification's expired, but I know what I'm fucking doing and you guys need some help. And they're like, you know, we don't get time to ask questions, man.
Yeah, like, whatever, man. If you want to volunteer, let's do it. And, that's right. He has, like, Steven Dorff's going down in there. He sees how tight it is. And he's like, hey, if I don't make it out here, tell my kids I love them. You know, that whole thing. Like, yeah, cool. You know, standard procedure. We'll wipe your browser history. We'll, you know, that's what bros are for. And, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Maria gets the, John's wife gets to the police department and yeah, there's like, I'm sorry. They said they were on the way. That was my mistake. They apparently found them, but they're getting them out here.
Under,
they're
like,
trapped underground. Blah,
stories
blah, blah.
Of rubble. They got to dig them out still.
Yeah.
And she has an appropriate shit fit.
Yeah. 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 She's like, what the all this is going on, you guys can't even get that one thing right. Like she's not being a total bitch.
Yeah.
She's just kind of like,
yeah,
this
no,
is disappointed.
Like, this isn't
know?
Right. You can't even tell me where the fuck he is.
Yeah.
Get your shit straight.
Yeah, meanwhile, at the hospital, Maggie Gyllenhaal's losing her goddamn shit.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole family's there to, like, you know, definitely not make it worse. And and a bunch of other families, too. And she's like, I
she's
can't
a,
even go
look,
in that waiting room.
She's Italian and German.
Yeah.
She's a fiery one.
So the family's lost the war twice. So Steven Dorff and Frank Whaley, they're like going down in, you know, like in a scene straight out of The Fucking Descent, only sharper and more rebar.
Oh, yeah.
And looser. And this is where I'm like, this is my fucking nightmare.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. Like, they're going down, and then just, like, every once in a while they stop, and everything is shifting around them, and it's just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, and they run into Lips, and,
yep,
you know, off themselves or whatever, like, okay, throw. And that's
right.
That's right.
You put over him.
Yeah, they throw like a jacket or whatever over him or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's right. They when they were talking to Michael Pena, like, oh yeah, it's me and my captain. We're down here. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, me and Joe.
And so they think like, oh shit, he doesn't know this guy's dead. Just throw something over him. We'll get him out of here, and then we'll, you know, blah blah blah. And so, yeah, they get down to Pena. Tight ass fit. Like, the jaws of life are down there, but they're not working at first.
They can't wedge it between the rock that's crushing Michael Pena.
Yeah.
And they're saying, like, man, his body temperature is dropping, and he is swelling. We need to get him out of here.
Yeah.
He is not long.
Yeah. And then they're like, hey, they mention something like, hey, your leg's caught in here, and, you know, we can't get under, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, look, if it'll save you time, cut my leg off. My captain's down there. Blah, blah, blah. Like, wait, down there? Like, is that not the guy there? Like, no, that guy's dead. Fuck him. No, the...
yeah. Oh, yeah, they're like, if it's... my leg is what's keeping you guys from getting to Joe, then you just cut it off. And they're like, no, look, man, I hate to tell you this. Joe's already dead. No, not that guy. Joe's still down there.
No, he's still down there. Like, he's making noise. Joe, John, say something.
Oh, fuck, there's another guy.
Okay. You know what, dude? We're not gonna cut your leg off. We can do this. We got this.
We're getting you out in one piece.
We're gonna figure this out. And, you know, and then the jaws of life start working a little bit. And that's right. They get him on the little not gurney or whatever, but
the medical board.
Yeah, the board. Yeah, there we go. And they start pulling him up out of there. And they get him to the surface, and he's got, like, you know, the searchlights and stuff on him and blah blah. Wait, is it morning? Fuck, I forget. But anyway, they're pulling him out.
No, it's still nighttime when they're
pulling him out. That's right, still nighttime. That's right. It's the searchlight. That's right. They're pulling him out, and then he's like, wait, where the hell did the buildings go? And they're like, they're gone, dude. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, Where are the buildings? And they're like, yeah, it's pretty bad, man.
Yeah, dude. You'll get used to it.
Yeah. And then somewhere in here, I think, is where we hear, like, yeah, we just lost the Marriott.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we lost building 3 or something like that.
Yeah, they lost building 3 earlier. They just lost, or they lost buildings.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I just remember it was like the Marriott's next, and then it was like a couple hours later they were like, yeah, we just lost the Marriott, so
yeah,
don't bother looking over there.
Yeah. Cage's still down there, and he's, you know, he's sleepy. He's
not doing good.
He's like, you know, kind of in and out of consciousness. Just go like, not yet. Not yet. And then Babe, hero of the goddamn movie, shows up, gets down to him.
His wife shows up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, flashes back in his wife's there, like, hey, baby.
Yeah, she shows up, and she's like, hey, honey, how you doing? And he's like, good. Tell the kids I love them.
Sorry, I wasn't careful.
Did I love you enough? I mean, did I love you right? I did my best, but sometimes I just don't say it. And she's like, you did great, but... you have to come home. You're not done yet. You don't... like, she's basically like, you don't get to die on me.
Yeah, you get your ass back here. I'm not raising these four kids by my goddamn self. No. No, I'm talking about the real hero. Fireman number one. John C. fucking McGinley! And another guy. They're like, you know, pulling... They're like coming from the side of, like, digging to him. Like, I guess a little easier way of getting down there. Because
he was... when they're pulling Penny up, they're like... there's another guy, but he's like another 10 stories
he's another
down.
Floor or two down, yeah.
Oh, they were saying he was like a long
way. I thought they said
like
10 feet, not 10 stories.
I don't know. Yeah. It seemed like it was like, we can't get him this way. We're going to have to come in at a different angle.
Yeah.
And fireman number one.
Yeah, Pena gets to the hospital. The family's there. He's got both of his legs.
Yeah, they're sucking rocks out of his mouth.
Sucking rocks out of his lungs.
Yeah.
Ugh. And then he basically, you know, tells Maggie, like, hey, I want to name her Olivia. And she's like, well, I wanted to name her Alyssa for you. And he's like, and Mel's like, but I just said I want to name her Olivia, so.
Yeah, I think he says something like, no, you're right, Alyssa's stupid, let's do it with Olivia. Okay, honey.
Yeah. They basically, are, you know, they're digging Cage out, and he's still going in and out of consciousness. And then this is when the wife shows up, and he just starts going into like a fucking monologue apology, and I'm like,
yeah,
oh, here we go. Yeah. Okay, he's out of this, and then the like face of the firefighter number two or whatever is now like the heavenly glow of Maria Bello. and
she's just like, nope, you've got to come home. That's the last thing you have to do. You have to make it home.
Yep. And then we cut to the real Maria Bello. She's still at the hospital. She's talking with Viola Davis.
Viola Davis! Her son is trapped in the rubble.
Yeah. So they're both there just kind of waiting to see, like, you know, what's going to happen.
He's
going to
make it.
And then she said something like, the building went down like a pancake. And I'm like, I've never heard that before, and I don't think that makes sense.
I've heard of it pancaking.
Yeah, but I don't know. I said right now, like, huh, is that a thing? Do people say a building or anything goes down like a pancake?
Yes, because they call it pancaking when it slaps on, like, down on itself, because that's what they said about the Oakland Freeway, that it pancaked when it came down.
Well, if it's like two services just, normally separated and, you know, stacking on one another. Yeah. Okay, but it doesn't matter.
It's a weird way to say it, but it's not... It's not super weird. It's not okay. Like she's like, it came down like a lizard.
It came down like a lizard on prom night. What? But yeah.
Are you really frying my rice with that?
I love it. But Viola Davis, she's just like, I just want to hold my kid again. I miss him so much. You know, blah, blah, blah. Cage gets pulled out. It's daytime now. Like, it's the morning.
Yeah.
He's still not doing good, but, you know, they're like...
Oh, as they're pulling him out, we're like, wait, is he entering the heavenly glow? Or is it actually light, or is it nighttime and there's so much smoke that they're getting the fog effect?
The lights and stuff, yeah. But, yeah, he's pulled out. It's daytime, and there's literally, like, hundreds of first responders and stuff there standing on the rubble, like, handing pieces of rock and whatever, like, down the
conveyor. Because now everybody's coming from the adjoining states.
Yeah, because the morning again. Yeah, all the help's coming in.
All the help's been able to come in.
And, Maria runs into John there at the hospital as he's being wheeled in, and, you know, he's like, you kept me alive. And she's like, oh, sweetie, I love you.
Don't die in surgery, please.
And then we get some shots of, morning in New York, still smoking, but, you know, help's arrived, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're doing what they can. Oh, that's right, the crew from, like, Wisconsin shows up, and, brats for everybody.
Yeah, you start seeing, like, different trucks are pulling up, and they have, like, they're from different states, and they're locals, and they're bringing different things out.
Yeah, and you just get a lot of shots of the city. And then we cut to 2 years later at the McLaughlin Himeno Barbecue, family barbecue or whatever. And, yeah, everybody's out there, and we get some, like, voiceover of, like, you know, 9/11, taught us all what we could do. The good... And the bad.
The bad,
but we have
to
remember the good.
But all the good that happened. Everybody coming together to save each other.
Yeah. And then we got Michael Pena turn around. Olivia! Olivia! We see a little girl, like, run into us. Okay, I just had to run. Yeah, up in the arms and spinning around. And then we fade to white. And then it talks about how, 2,749 people died on September 11th. Mm-hmm. About 400 of them were police. 20 of them were pulled out of the rubble, and had like 23 surgeries over the course of like a 6 month coma.
Michael Pena was number 18, and Nick Cage was number 19.
Yeah, so they were like down there the longest, I guess.
Yeah,
or except for one other person, but yeah. And then
it was people from 83 countries died.
Like they really broke down like the. Yeah. All the different, like, departments, like, how many
and
first
responders.
And then
they really brought down, but they did a general, like, people from 80, like, over 2,000 people died from 83 countries, and they just really then focused it on, like, the New York, like, you know, the Wharf Police.
The first responders. And then, they're like, hey, this movie's dedicated to them. It listed off a bunch of them.
Yeah, it had all the New York police who passed away.
Yep. And then, roll credits. Guys, that's World Trade Center. Babe, would you recommend this movie?
No, but I don't really recommend 9/11 movies, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautifully shot. And it's well done for what it is. And
it's probably the best of the 9/11 movies. Yeah, if you need a 9/11 movie in your life, this is probably the one. There's big stretches of it where it's kind of boring.
Yeah,
but it's because it's more of a character study than an action thing or anything.
And drama and stuff thrown in it.
Yeah,
it's one of those survivor movies, like Alive or like the miners being buried underground. Like, long stretches of not a lot happening. yeah, 147 hours or 127. The lot of hours where the Franco boy has to cut his arm off.
Yeah, well, when Franco has to chew his arm off,
he's got to go coyote ugly on himself. Yeah, I mean. if this is the kind of movie that intrigues you, I'm sure you've already seen it, more than fun facts. But I don't know, man.
We like fun movies, and this movie is not fun.
I'm glad we watched it finally.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, being Nick Cage completionist, this was like one of the bigger ones, but.
Yeah, everybody did a great job on it. It's just not the movie for us.
Yeah,
so,
that's probably it. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, if you feel like you need a 9/11 movie in your life,
this is probably the one. This September 11th coming up here in a couple of weeks. If you feel like you need to do something. Yeah, happy birthday, Pickles. but that note. We'll take a quick commercial break. Oh, when we come back, more beer.
Oh, thank God.
Fun facts.
Yeah.
And what we learned from World Trade Center.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Fucking Hank Hill.
Nick Cage and Hank Hill really have some overlap.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.
Have you ever watched a movie and thought to yourself, what were they thinking?
Because we sure have.
So much so that we named our podcast after it.
What were they thinking?
Starring me, Nathan.
And Brendan.
Every week we take a bad to questionable movie and unpack it so you don't have to.
And then sometimes we A your cues in our mailbag. No big whoop.
Yeah, no big whoop at all. So that's What Were They Thinking?
You can find us on your favorite podcatcher or follow us on the World Wide Web on Twitter and Instagram at WWTTPodcast.
Who the hell says World Wide Web anymore?
This guy.
So, see you soon. Wave at microphone.
I love the smell of movies in the morning.
There's no feeling in podcasts. There's no feeling in podcasts.
This podcast will be quite operational when your friends subscribe.
Feels. Real feels.
Not the feels! Not the feels!
Out of all the podcasts I've encountered, Real Feels was the most human.
Hey, it's Drew.
And Nathan.
And Jack.
Hey guys, and we're the Real Feels Podcast. We come to you every other Wednesday with a brand new movie of a different genre every single time. So make sure to catch us on iTunes, Podbean, and any other podcatcher out there. You're the realest.
And the feelest.
Come to Yeha!
Did you ever go on vacation with your family and hope the dance instructor would fall in love with you?
No, but I did think a guy with a giant boombox playing Peter Gabriel outside my window in the middle of the night meant true and undying love.
Listen to our podcast, Happily Ever Aftermath, where we revisit these movies and it turns out they weren't the best ideas.
What were you thinking?
You can find our podcast, Happily Ever Aftermath, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or your favorite podcatcher.
You can also tweet at us at HEAMCAST, Heamcast.
Hi, this is Johnny C. McGinley, and you're listening to Everything I Learned from Movies. All the best.
And we're back.
Oh my God, Steve, those are the greatest ads that ever added in the history of adding.
Oh, she said it.
Oh, it's better than being trapped in a burning building.
Oh, how much? Babe.
There are not some ads that are not better than being trapped in a burning building.
That's what were they thinking, though?
No, I was more thinking, what are like the world's most annoying commercials? We've talked about a few of them on here.
Annoying commercial. Oh shit, like two avocados, Jacob Jensen.
Whopper, whopper, whopper,
whopper, whopper,
whopper.
Fuck it. Hey,
Steve,
I don't know about you, I'm a little thirsty.
Oh, I'm still sober.
Oh well, what we
despite
got
my whopper song.
Whopper, whopper.
We have from Big Sky Brewing. Ooh. In Montana, we got Summer Honey Seasonal Ale.
An ale
blended with honey and spices. Brewed and canned by Big Sky Brew in Missoula, Montana.
Boom.
Yeah, it's got a bear in a swimsuit.
Sure does.
He's wearing a Simmons.
Summer honey, drink it so fast.
Popping tops. Yeah.
Oh, what a blast.
And the pour. Yeah, gorgeous, effervescent, gold-colored beverage. Has a beautiful off-white head. Lots of foamy bubbles, and they're dissipating quickly.
Foamy bubbles, dissipating quickly. Ooh. That's good, like, earthy.
Yeah, it's got some earthy notes, and then it's got just that very, like, almost floral that, like, honey has.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like wildflower honey or whatever. Just, yeah, taking a sip, yeah, malt forward, but...
But not sweet. Like,
yeah, got a little hop balance, just enough to break it up, I'm sure. Like, probably some, like, noble hops or something in there.
Yeah, just so you guys know, like, honey beers aren't usually, like, sweet at all, because honey fully ferments out. So they're really dry. They almost have, like, a champagne texture to it.
Yeah. And it leaves behind a lot of, like, the earthy notes and stuff from the honey, or, like, whatever... Yeah, or like the floral notes. Yeah, basically whatever they ate to make the honey, a lot of that left behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do a lot of honey beers, well, you know, back when we made beer. But I want to get back into that again. I want to do some homebrew on these episodes.
Yeah, we should do some homebrew. We got a keg and a kegerator.
It's true. So yeah, Big Sky.
Woo!
Summer honey, seasonal ale. Check it out. Well, babe.
Steve.
Would you be interested in any fun facts about this movie?
I don't know, Steve. Are they fun facts? Super fun facts? Because they're fun facts.
Well, let's find out. Babe.
Steve.
Rotten Tomatoes. Critics. What do you think the critics thought of this movie? Would they dare talk shit on the World Trade Center?
No, they're... All right, there's always going to be one guy who's willing to talk shit, but no. Like, this movie's going to be, I'm going to say, artificially inflated. I'm going to guess it's like 85.
66% with the critics.
Oh,
so just
all right.
Barely fresh. But nobody gives a fuck about the critics. What about that audience?
Oh.
How patriotic is this country?
75.
60.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
So, you know, kind of give or take, but still fresh.
That feels about right.
Excuse me. $65 million budget. Worldwide gross, $163.3 million. It's a hit, baby. Can't wait for the sequel. Steve, did you say you can't wait for the sequel to 9/11? Anyway, this was the highest grossing feature film of the 2000s about the events of September 11th. Opening weekend gross of $18.7 million was the best of Oliver Stone's career.
Oh shit.
And you start thinking, like, he's made some great fucking movies, but it's like, yeah, Natural Born Killers ain't having a big opening weekend.
Platoon.
Any Given Sunday, like, yeah. Definitely not Savages. Who knows? Maybe Nuclear. Maybe it'll be better than Oppenheimer.
It's pronounced Nuclear.
Actually, fuck it. Where's my phone? Oh, fuck. Look it up.
Look it up.
Oliver Stone, Nuclear.
Nuclear. You know,
first off, see if it's still being made. It's been a while since I checked IMDb, but see if it, like, just says, like, plot is under wraps or what it's about.
All right. It's called Nuclear Now, and it's a documentary.
Oh. Okay.
Oliver Stone explores the possibility of overcoming the challenges of climate change and energy poverty through the power of nuclear energy.
Oh.
Unprecedented access to the nuclear industry in France, Russia, and the United States.
Hmm.
Oh, it might be out.
Oh, shit.
Now streaming on VOD like Amazon Prime.
Okay, here we go.
As of July 10th.
Oh, shit, so it's like
it just
week.
Came out. Okay.
Holy shit. All right. Well, there we go. Coming next week. No.
Oliver Stone, how he stopped worrying and learned to love the bomb.
Yeah. Director Oliver Stone's first two choices to play John McLaughlin, that's the Nicolas Cage character, were Mel Gibson or George Clooney.
Oh my.
Interesting movie, right? Yeah. But
Mel
Gibson doing the New York accent might be interesting.
Would have been rough.
But, yeah.
All three of those actors are wildly different.
Yes, absolutely. In preparation for his portrayal of Sergeant John McLaughlin, Nicolas Cage focused on accurately speaking with a New York accent. Yobo, let us know how he did. And to also capture the fear and claustrophobia of McLaughlin's ordeal, Cage spent hours in a sensory deprivation tank in Venice, California.
Oh my.
There you go. Also, that's a nice tax write-off for, you know, to get the character.
Oh!
The city of New York absolutely prohibited the recreation of 9/11 destruction or chaos on location. The filmmakers were not even allowed to film actors looking upward towards where the towers would be. The drive of the officers up to the site were permitted to be filmed, but all scenes depicting events at or near the World Trade Center were filmed in Los Angeles. Yeah, pretty well done. I mean, obviously, like the opening, you see a lot of like living in New York kind of situations and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's set pretty well. And yeah. Test audiences believe that Dave Karns, the Michael Shannon character, former Marine, was a Hollywood invention. This is, in fact, a true story that occurred. Karns later re-enlisted in the Marine Corps and served two tours of duty in Iraq. Also, as reported by Associated Press in August 2006, the Marine identified only as Sergeant Thomas, who appeared shortly after 9/11, who disappeared shortly after 9/11, has been identified as Jason Thomas, a former Marine who grabbed his uniform and immediately drove to Ground Zero to help. Because his identity was unknown at the time of filming, Sergeant Thomas, who is black, was portrayed by William Mopither, a white man. Mm. Does the name William Mopither sound familiar, babe?
Who's he, Steve?
You know Tom Cruise's real name? It's like Thomas Cruise Mopither the Fourth.
Oh.
It's his cousin.
Oh. Yeah. I know Tom Cruise's real name is stupid, and I never remember what it is.
Yeah, I looked it up and like, Mopither. I've only heard that name one other time in my life.
Mopither.
But the producers have since apologized to Sergeant Thomas for the miscasting, but Thomas apparently laughed it off and told them not to be concerned, stating, quote, "I don't want to shed any negativity on what they were trying to show." So, There you go. I think I'm trying to remember the Sergeant Thomas. I think that's the guy that Michael Shannon runs into.
Yeah, the guy who's the like, whatever, my certifications lapsed, but...
No, that's Frank Whalen. I mean, when Michael Shannon's... At first he's walking by himself, but then he runs into that guy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a Marine too. I think that's who they're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. But babe...
Steve.
We've reached the most important part. What did we learn from World Trade Center?
Oh my. Well, I learned definitely drink whatever leaks out of pipes at a Fox building.
Suck that pipe.
How about you, Steve?
Jesus.
Did I steal yours?
I learned you can't necessarily trust the water from a flaming... overexposed Jesus.
Don't drink flaming Jesus's water.
That's right. The Jesus juice may not be what you're looking for.
Drink the water out of the pipe. The mystery pipe. Don't drink the Jesus water.
I also learned if I'm trapped, you know, three or four stories under rubble, there's only one man I want to save me. John C. McGinley. Seven. Oh, shit. I wonder if he's, like, narrating the Nuclear Now or whatever.
That'd be so good.
I'm sorry, 8 if that's the case.
My apologies, Mr. McGinley.
My apologies, Mr. McGinley. Please come back. Well, babe.
Steve.
Thank you so much for watching this movie with me. I'm glad we were able to check it off the list.
We've almost finished our complete Nick Cage filmography.
Dude, we are actually really close. I looked down the list. There's like maybe a dozen we haven't seen. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like between the two of us. Because I'd like seen The Old Way and I kind of told you about it. It's quick, like an hour and a half if you ever wanted to watch it. But guys, by the way, that may be coming soon. That movie was a little weird. I don't know what tone they were going for, but they got all of them.
Weirder than Prisoners of the Oslan?
No. Just
is that Nick Cage's weirdest movie?
Bad Lieutenant, Porter Call, New Orleans?
Is it weirder than Prisoners of the Ghostland?
Vampire's Kiss.
Is it weirder than Prisoners of the Ghostland?
I mean, if you mean like weird, like nonsensical, maybe?
No. I'm not saying like what is the weirdest Nick Cage performance. I'm saying what is the weirdest movie around.
Never on a Tuesday. No.
Still haven't seen it.
Me neither. I've only seen the one scene. Hey, babe, are you on social media at all?
Nope, I can't be found.
All right, sorry, guys. And yeah, you're on Patreon. You know how to find us. She's at Untidy Venus. I'm at EILF Movies.
Catch us at the Farmer's Market.
Yeah, Farmer's Market shit. Podcart Fest coming up. You all know this. You all love it.
PODCARTFES. best TV. Best.
Tell all your friends. Send us all your monies. No, I don't know.
Yes, just, yeah, give us money and leave us alone. Is that my new bumper sticker? Give me money and leave me alone.
Give me all of your money and none of your attention.
Yeah. That's it. I want to be rich. I don't want to be famous.
That's right. We love you guys. Thank you so much for your continued support. You know, tell some friends. Maybe they want to hear this World Trade Center episode too.
Yeah.
Where we just talk. We laughed entirely too much for what this movie was trying to get across. But hey, that's how we do.
Hey, this movie did have a few light moments, and that kept it from being a total slog.
Yeah, totally.
But, yeah.
So yeah, I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And I'm Sushi.
Oh, Sushi Dog.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies.
Sushi Dog. Ooh.
Sushi Dog.
Oh, and the podcast cats say hi, Patreons. They say meow. Meow. Pickle, shut up.